Saturday morning sports talk on 14 KVOE. Live and local.
I'm 5-1. And a hearty good morning. It is time for Saturday morning sports talk. We're driven by longbindauto.com. Steve Souter, Greg Ray, and Tim Miller. It's the first time we've all been here for a while.
It has been a while. Yeah.
It's good to be here, and we're going to extend our this morning, we're going to extend our honoring athletes. As last week, Greg had most of the athletes and coaches in that get our Complete Works and KVOE Athletes of the Year awards. And, Greg, can you run through those? And Jordan Barnard wasn't here, and he's here with us today, and we'll get to Jordan in a minute, but why don't you run through the
Let's go ahead and stick with the area athletes. Area female athlete was Emmy Punches of Burlingame. Our coach of the year for area was Chris Schmidt. For Emporia High, Macy Adams was our Emporia High female athlete of the year. Our Emporia High male athlete of the year is Camden Kermer. And our coach of the year was Sean Russell. And we were hoping that we'd have Sean Russell today, because he was racing in the
DK,
Unbound Gravel.
Unbound Gravel 100 last week. And then he said, yeah, I can make it in this week. And then he texted me during the week, said, I missed this on my schedule. He has the Emporia High girls wrestling team at a wrestling camp in Parsons this weekend. So I've set it up so he can come in next Saturday to get his plaque, and you can talk to him. And of course, he was the girls' wrestling coach, Centennial League champions, and had a great season.
A good leader for them. He'd been an assistant coach with the guys, and opted to go with the ladies, and has done well. So let's turn our attention now to Jordan Barnard. And you know, last week when you were introducing Chris Schmidt, he talked a little bit about Jordan. And Jordan, you get some pretty high marks for four different sports and being a leader in all of them. Your senior year, COVID interrupted a little bit, but turned out pretty good. You think?
Yeah. I mean, I was really glad with the season, with all four sports that I did. Very glad to end up on top, and I'm very thankful for all the honors I've got.
Well, you're a great leader, and Opie, your season, I mean, how could you even think about winning state championships in two sports?
Well, I mean, I knew in football we'd be up there and we'd be close. And after getting that first one, I think it brought a lot of confidence to our basketball team. So all season we were trying to catch up as far as getting into shape. We got COVID, I think, our third practice of the year. So we go a little behind, but coming near to the end of the season, we were getting in shape. And I think it all started to pay off around playoffs time.
So what's your best memory from the football season?
I would say beating Linden in the semifinals. It was a really hard-fought game, and then they were actually coming down into the goal line near the end, and we stopped them.
Well, that's a good one to have. And then you transition to basketball. What's your favorite sport? Is football your favorite sport?
I would say basketball. I've played a lot more basketball in my life, so it's kind of grown on me better.
I see. So basketball season, how did it unfold?
Pretty good. We started off really hot, got into the Lyon County League tournament undefeated, and then we played Lebo, and I think we came a little unfocused, and we got our first loss there. Got down by 20, I think, at half. Came back and lost close. Then lost a couple more with Sunrise and Osage, but overall, pretty good season.
And just kept getting focused and more people getting involved.
More people getting involved, more people doing their roles, and just getting in shape to where we can run up and down for the whole game.
And then you go to spring, and so in spring, you've already won two state championships, so just for grins, you're in two sports, right?
Yes, golf and baseball.
So how'd that work?
So practice-wise, I would go out to golf for about an hour to an hour and a half, and then I would come back and do baseball and then stay a little bit extra to get some extra work in to make up for being late.
So, and you handle your studies while you're doing that as well?
Yep.
Okay, so what else, Greg? We're going to ask him about his future, I guess.
Well, we need to mention that in golf, he was a medalist in the state golf tournament to go along with everything else. And then baseball, you made it, what, to the regional semifinals or final?
Finals.
To the finals?
Yeah, regional finals. Ended up losing that one to Crest.
Who was your baseball coach?
I'm Dalton Laird. And then the assistants were Michael Ratcliffe and then Jeremiah Corpening.
So Chris Schmidt didn't want to coach baseball, huh?
He might have. I don't know. I don't know if they'll let him coach three.
Slacker.
Absolutely. So tell us what your plans are for the future.
The plans are to go to Flint Hills Technical College and then get my major, an associate's degree in industrial engineering technology.
And so what kind of a job would you think, what kind of a career would you have after tech school?
There's many ways I could go, but one place I have my eye on is like Wolf Creek over there, and then any other places around Emporia, Simmons, or Hornet Manufacturing and other places like that.
Well, you're no stranger to work, evidently. You told us you're working on the turnpike this summer.
Yep, working on the turnpike.
Is this your first year, or have you done that before?
First year. I would say this is the first year I'm eligible to do it. It's for people going into college or who is in college right now.
So it's a program that's available to about any kid if they meet the criteria, huh?
Yes.
And so is it hard work?
Yeah, it's hard work here and there. You do a lot of different things and out in the sun a lot.
So were you used to hard work? I mean, your dad doesn't demand anything of you, does he?
Yeah, I'm used to working hard.
I asked you before, I'm going to ask you again so our listeners can. Your dad, LG, I'm pretty sure was on a state championship team at Madison, and all the Barnards I'm related to live in Madison. And you said you don't give him any crap about having two state championships and he only has one?
No, we don't talk too much about that, but I think he's glad I won two, and I'm glad he won one.
Maybe giving him crap just something you shouldn't do.
Yeah, I don't know if I should do that right now.
So,
well, it's just interesting that Barnard escapes to Olpe. I mean, you know, it's just
yeah. When you first surfaced down there, you have sisters. You have older sisters.
Yeah, two older sisters, Paige Barnard and then Mackenzie Barnard,
and they played for yes. Jesse, right? Yeah. So I remember that. When I first heard that, I'm scratching my head because I associate Barnard's with Madison, but you said that isn't a problem, huh?
No, not too much.
Still get along at the dinner table, okay, evidently.
Absolutely. So, somebody asked a question. I'm
just curious. I mean, give us a little idea. Of course, you played for Coach Schmidt in two sports. What's it like playing for him?
I enjoyed a lot. He wants a lot out of you. I think the better player you are, the more he's going to be on you and make you better. And then both sports, he's really big on defense and conditioning. So coming game time when those tough moments, he really knows how to get us prepared for that, being strong mentally and strong physically.
How much stuff do you guys do in the summer? What's a typical summer for an OP athlete?
Typically there's summer weights 3 or 4 times a week. And then you have football with 7-on-7. I think that's over in Osage. Get a practice about a week for that and then have a game once or twice a week. And then just here recently, I think my junior year, they started doing basketball over in Santa Fe Trail, and that's twice a week. And they'll practice once or twice for that. And then after every weights, those 3 or 4 days, they have an hour shoot-around in the gym. People get in and get some shots up, and that's about all it.
That's all there is, huh?
That's it. That's it.
It's a new world, isn't it?
Absolutely.
What about thinking about continuing to play? I mean, I'm sure you got some offers for probably both football and basketball. Did you give those any consideration?
I've considered it, but I don't know. I just felt like it was time to go, get ready to get a job, get my degree. I didn't know what I wanted to major into as far as a 4-year college, so I decided to go to the technical school.
Well, it's interesting. It's nice to know what you want to do because that's a big challenge for a lot of kids. So who's your favorite baseball team?
It'd be the Royals.
And you are a baseball fan, you told us. So
decent. I don't know a whole bunch, but I like baseball.
How many Opie and Hartford have baseball? How did they have that all the way through your high school career, or did it start just a couple of years?
So as a sophomore, it started the program, and they didn't do very good. And then this last year, I was going to be playing, but they got COVID. So that last year, the new coach came in, Dalton Laird. He was a younger guy. And then this year went really good. I think the team went like 2 or 15 or something the first year of the program. And it went to like 17-4 as his first year coaching. So it was pretty good on his part.
And you lost in the one game short of state. Is that right?
Yeah, one game short of state.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah.
You guys are going to state. So.
What about favorite athlete?
Michael Jordan or Bo Jackson are my two favorite athletes for as far as basketball and football.
I mean, nothing current. You're kind of a throwback guy, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, were either one of them? Were you alive while either one of them was playing?
I don't think he was.
Probably not.
So, what influenced you with those guys? How'd you get drawn to them?
Dad's a big Jordan fan, and I've watched a lot of his old films and highlights, and I enjoy it. Okay. Then, Bo Jackson, just loved seeing his highlights and how he played.
Well, nothing wrong with either one of them. That's for darn sure. So, interesting.
And talk a little bit about when you're not involved with sports, what you do, hobbies, or what you do with your free time.
I like to hang out with friends, do a little bit of fishing and hunting, and then do some golf on the free time.
So what do you like to hunt? Are you a quail hunter?
Some waterfowl and then a little bit of deer. Starting kind of not a huge hunter, but I'm going to get into it some more here out of high school.
Does your dad hunt?
Mostly waterfowl and quail and some stuff like that.
I see. Okay, well, congratulations. I don't know.
Heck of a high school senior year. I don't think you'd ask for much more, could you?
No.
Good grief.
I'm glad we just had it with all COVID and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the opportunity to play. And what do you think about I this is kind of off your topic, but girls basketball at Opie, of course, has been a story for a long, long time with Jesse retiring. What do you think the future is there?
I mean, Opie's always got athletes that are coming through there, but it's going to be tough with a new Jesse leaving, just being there so long, running the program. Whatever coach comes in definitely is going to have a task having that tradition of Opie girls basketball. And I think they will surprise some people and put a pretty good team up next year.
Well, and Carolyn Richards retiring as well, right?
Yes, she's retired as well. They'll need a head coach and assistant.
That may be why Jesse retired. She may have been doing all the work.
I'm not saying anything.
All right, Jordan Barnard, our KVOE Athlete of the Year for the area, and you rank right up there, Jordan. You've had a great year. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Great career, I guess we should say.
Absolutely.
And with that said, let's take a break. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongvineAuto.com.
At Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia, quality products and great customer service are what we value most. We work to provide our friends and customers our very best. We know how important a clean and safe environment is for you to shop in. We want you to feel comfortable about your safety while you look for the newest from Chevy and Buick. Chevy is the only brand to earn J.D. Power Dependability Awards for cars, trucks, and SUVs for 5 years in a row. And Buick has the most complete lineup of luxury SUVs. Need maintenance or repairs on your current vehicle? Let one of our award-winning service professionals or our Total Collision Center get you back on the road. If customer service and quality products are what you value most, come to Longvine Auto Plaza. It's our total commitment to you that has made the difference for over 50 years. So come in today or visit us at longvineauto.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 14 KVOE.
The other two. Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by longvineauto.com, and Steve and Jordan sharing a couple of stories as Jordan has played with and knows Brooke Souter, who played in the Kansas Junior Amateur Golf Tournament this past week out at Hayes, along with his brother Hudson. And also playing in that tournament was Caden Massey, as Hudson made it to the third day. He was able to play the third day.
Yeah, it was quite an experience for all those kids. And the way I would explain, I mean, they didn't get the results they wanted. And I told Ed Hammond, president of Fort Hayes University, he texted me and said, "Hey, I met your grandsons." And he said they were polite and everything. And I said, "Yeah, but they didn't play very well." And he said, "Well, it might have been the golf course." And I said, "Absolutely, it was the golf course. Smoky Hill is tough." And Jamie and I had played it 7 or 8 years ago. Jamie, they went out and played a practice round on Monday. Jamie said the trees have all grown 10 to 15 feet. And it made it tougher for him. And, but Huddy had the best tournament of the three, and they did okay. And they I liked Caden's mom posted on Facebook. She said they're all anxious to go back next year. So that's what happens in golf. If the golf course wins, you look forward to the challenge of
conquering it the next time.
Of going back. Yeah, my third grandson, Trey, Brady's boy, who will be a senior at Manhattan High School, he was in the tournament as well. And the Smoky Hill is not a long golf course, and it calls to not use your driver on about half the holes. And a lot of guys hit their three woods. Well, Trey likes to hit his four iron. That's his favorite club, and he can count on it, and he can hit it about 220, which is really good. And on about the fourth hole, there's a dog leg where he was using his four iron, and he hit a perfect shot, hit it in the middle of fairway, 75 yards from the green. Unfortunately, the head of his club ended up 30 yards down the and his dad said that ended his tournament because he said all he did was felt sorry for himself because he didn't have his four iron. So good stuff. And, of course, all three of those kids you talked about are playing in the city tournament, which is underway. By the way, the men are playing at the Muni or at the city or at the country club today. The women are actually at the Muni, or at least I hope they are, because that's where my wife went.
I think they were all supposed
to. It says that you could read that into the way the brackets are, but the women are they're out south today, and the men are at the country club, and then they'll flip flop tomorrow.
Not a particularly large field this year either. It just didn't seem like it.
Well, I don't think it's too bad. Really? Only nine women.
Nine women and 39 on the guy side. That's lower than what it was a year ago.
Yeah.
On both sides.
And it's a couple of William, how do you say that? So,
yeah.
Won the championship a year ago, I think with two rounds of 75. And but this year, Colton Massey is back. I mean, he's moved to Wichita, and he's working there. He's interning with Koch Industries. And I don't know if he's ever won the city, but he's certainly a competitor. And, I mean, he played a year of golf at Washburn. He's a very good golfer. And then Chase Coble, who has won it in the past, is back in the field, missing some of the other more notables. But they're guys with families, and sometimes they can play and sometimes they can't. But it's a good field. It's going to be really fun and interesting, and the weather is going to be perfect.
Yeah, it's long. The humidity's down from what it was yesterday, and
it's 90%. You been outside?
Well, when I came to work this morning, it felt like
it was. I think it changed back. It was supposed to be, you know, a little cooler and wind out of the north, but the wind's out of the east, or at least that's what it said on the TV, and the humidity was pretty thick. I'm just basing this. My wife's playing. She wasn't going to play because we spent the week in Cleveland, but we got back on time, and the competitive bug got to her, and so she's in the tournament, one of nine gals, the two Eckert girls, and Kelly McInerney, they would be the favorites in that. So anyway, there you go with all that. Tim and I were talking Royals. They're frustrating to watch. They're kind of on maintenance because Altoberto Mondesi comes back, is playing really well, gets hurt again after making a really outstanding play. And so now they've got to just kind of keep it together. It's amazing, though. They win five, and then they turn around and lose four.
Yeah.
Well, they won five in a row, and then they lost five in a row.
Did they lose five? Yeah. I was hoping it was just four.
Well, and you think about the fact that, of course, you throw in an 11-game losing streak earlier in the year, and yet this team is still, what, maybe two games under 500?
Two games under.
So and they look – they can look so good and then or so bad. I mean, the first game at Oakland is a good example. Six innings, and they have two scratch hits and about eight or nine strikeouts, and they're just being completely dominated. And then, boom, all of a sudden, they have an inning. But they – last night – in the ninth inning with the score tied, they get their leadoff batter on, and then Dyson steals second. They had to argue a little bit to get him there.
Yeah. I mean,
he was called out, and they overruled it and left him there. And Michael A. Taylor is at the plate with a full count and strikes out. And as HUD, Rex Huddler, who's a good analyst, he's a little talkative, but he's a good analyst. And he said he tried to, you know, you can look at his swing, and he said he was trying to pull the ball. He said that's the last thing he should have been doing. He should have been shortening up and just getting the ball in play and getting Dyson to third base. Doesn't do it. Alberto is up next. He strikes out on three pitches and takes one right in the middle of the plate on the first pitch, which isn't his style. And then Merrifield comes up with his second opportunity to drive in and run at a critical time, and I don't think he struck out. I think, is that when he hit the weak? That was with the bases loaded when he hit the broken bat.
He broke his bat, yeah.
But it bugs me when they get guys on second, nobody out, and then don't move them.
Yeah, and they do that a lot.
Yeah, and they've gotten good pitching. Singer was good last night. Miner was good the night before.
You know, you take one inning away from Singer, and he was pretty solid. It was just one bad inning is all he had.
One bad inning where it was double-double home run.
Yeah, and other than that, he was pretty, you know, he was pretty good. I think he struck out six or seven. I mean, overall, it was a pretty decent outing for him. But
yeah.
Well, they're getting these young pitchers some experience, that's for sure. So hopefully they'll pay dividends down the road.
And we'll, hopefully Jackson Kowar will have a better outing. He
can't be much worse. I mean, what a horrible debut for him. So hopefully, he can bounce back today.
I was going to look here. I had some notes. And then Bubik. How do you say that?
Bubik, I think.
Bubik. Itch. It's spelled with an IC, but they pronounce it with an itch. I mean, Bubic, I think.
Bubic.
He's set to go tomorrow, and he'd been pretty decent, but his last start was a disaster as well. We were in Cleveland, and, well, I tell you what, I don't like going to the East Coast. Cleveland isn't exactly the East Coast, but you're in the Eastern time zone. Everything's an hour late.
Yep.
You got to stay up late.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you got to stay up later.
Later, yeah.
So, and I don't know when Mondesi's on the trip with him.
He is eligible to return on Monday, the 14th, is when he is first eligible. He's been taking batting practice and taking infield. So, they still haven't set a date when he's coming back, and I think they're probably going to be cautious like they were before.
Still on the road? What do they do after?
They come back to Kansas City for a series beginning next week. They'll be at home they've got Boston coming in. They got Detroit and Boston coming in, and then they'll go on the road and they'll head to New York to take on the Yankees, and that's what they have left.
You know, I get a kick. I mentioned Rex Huddler. And you either love him or hate him, I think.
Yeah, there's not much gray area there.
So, but he has a lot of good stories and a lot of opinions, but he raves on, like, the way the pitcher was going last night. I mean, the pitcher last night had a losing record, but he did have a reasonable ERA. The guy the night before had an ERA of about 6, and he's mowing down the Royals, and he's always talking about how well this pitcher's having some of that has to do with the fact the Royals aren't very good at times.
Yeah, yeah. So and they don't, some of their at bats are certainly questionable.
So they are what they're, and most of us that have predicted what we thought the Royals would do, we were hoping to be 500. And I think if they can stay a game or two, if they can stay in that neighborhood through the All-Star break, if they get Mondesi back and he hangs on. And I think these young guys, Jackson Kowar, I'm not sure if he's ready, but I know this, the first thing they got to do is throw strikes.
Right.
Well, the thing is, when you look at what he was doing in Omaha, there's not much more he could do.
Yeah.
He
was dominating down there.
Yeah. Had a .50, I think, ERA.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's time. Well, before we leave baseball, Sam Ellis Classic and kind of interesting strategy from the Emporia coaches, how they've saved their best pitchers for today, huh?
Now, Emporia will play one game today. That'll be at 7 o'clock. If they win that game, they'll play possibly two games tomorrow once they get into bracket play, depending on if they win, lose, and all that kind of fun stuff. But yesterday was, if you were a Post-5 fan, that was a struggle. In both games, they lose to the Topeka Senators, which is mostly the city of Topeka. lose that game 7-4. They gave up four runs in the first inning. After that, they were right there in the ball game and just couldn't overcome that four-run first inning. And then against Ottawa, scoreless first inning, and then Ottawa scores three, four runs, and two runs, and they're up 9-0 before Emporia finally scores a run. They end up playing seven innings, and then Ottawa ends up scoring seven runs in the seventh inning to make it a 16-1 ball game. And it's one of those. They've got a lot of younger players that are playing at the higher level, and they're learning some things. And
they're playing like a Caden Williams who could play with them, but he's playing out of town somewhere, getting ready for college. And but they play at 7 tonight, right?
They play 7 tonight.
And of course, it's the Sam Ellis Classic in remembrance of Sam. So what do we end up with? Central Missouri.
Based upon their website, it says they were suspended top to 3 and they were leading 2-1.
They were leading 2-1. They'll resume at 11 o'clock this morning, Eastern time, 10 a.m. Central time. They're playing Tampa in an elimination game. If they win that, they'll play in the championship game, which I believe will be played later today.
Are you sure? I thought it looks like a three-game series. It's the third time they've played Tampa. I thought maybe
they kind of do it like the Division I's, where they'll have – if you remember when Emporia State was there, they had the upper bracket and the lower bracket. You had – if you won your bracket, you played in the championship game, and it was a winner-take-all. I believe that's the way it still is.
Okay.
And this is – and Tampa and Central Missouri were in the same bracket, and – when they first time they played each other, or I think Tampa had one loss going into their game yesterday morning, which was scheduled to be played on Thursday, but was rained out, so they played yesterday. Tampa won that game 8-1. They played the if necessary game for that bracket. They were scheduled to play it last evening, but they only made it. Got to the top of the third inning when the game was halted because of weather, and they'll resume it today. But Central Missouri was leading 2-1.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like whoever wins will end up playing Wingate in the championship game.
Okay. Well, I was just looking at Central's schedule and going by that, and I thought this was the championship. But so, well, I guess good luck to the Mules. It's hard to know who to root for in those situations because Central Missouri is obviously a rival. But we'll find out. You guys catch any of the Women's World Series?
I caught a little bit of it. Enough to know. Of course, you knew it during the season. Oklahoma's really good. I mean, they have a great team. Best team won.
I think I agree with that. I said that to my wife. Fortunately, that was on. We spent a lot of time in the hotel, and it was good to have that on. And Oklahoma was solid because their defense is good too, and they can really hit the
and to consider that they came all the way lose their first game and come all the way back
through
and win.
Sort of Florida State.
True. Yeah.
I mean, it was really an interesting scenario. Yeah.
But Oklahoma's really good.
Yeah.
Very impressive team. Got a lot of power. I mean, they can hit the ball.
Yep. They were good, and then what, their fifth national championship and third in the last 4 years or something like that.
Not a bad program at Oklahoma.
Yeah. You know what? I think KU beat them once.
Matter of fact, the rumor I'm hearing, the young lady at Topeka High, Canada, excellent softball player, good basketball player, obviously. She is down now. She's going to play softball in college. She's down to her final two choices, Stanford or Oklahoma.
Wow, she must be a good student.
Yeah, she's a very good student.
We wouldn't say that if she was just considering Oklahoma.
Right, yeah. Yeah, but now that Stanford's in the mix. But, so Stanford or OU will get her services as a softball player.
Yeah.
So,
well, Stanford's having a good recruiting year. The young lady that's going to be a high school senior from New Jersey in the U.S. Women's Open, she kind of faded the last day. She ended up in sixth place, I think, but she was 3-4 under all the way through the first three rounds, close to the lead. Her name was anyway. She's going to Stanford as well. So you keep hearing all these people going to Stanford. So there you go. Well, let's get a break in, and then we'll come back. We'll have about 10 minutes left, or a little longer if we need it. As you're listening to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, we're driven by LongvineAuto.com.
At Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia, quality product.
Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 14 KVOE.
All right, welcome back. Saturday morning sports talk. We're talking Chiefs off air. And, of course, the Chiefs just finished their voluntary mini camp, OTA.
OTAs, organized team activities, yep. Or optional team activities.
Is this the stuff that Tom Brady was...
Organized.
Is this the stuff that Tom Brady was talking a lot of the players into skipping?
I think
and the Chiefs had 100%, I think, except for Duval, whatever
Lawrence Tardif.
Larry. As,
yeah, they call him Larry.
Andy Reid called him Larry. But, of course, the news out of the camp was that Kyle Long, who was one of the free agents they signed coming out of retirement, fractured kneecap. That sounds awful, but it's better than tearing a ligament, I guess.
Yeah, they weren't sure if he would need surgery. With it being a fracture, I wouldn't think surgery would be required, but they are not expecting him to be available for training camp, and he may not be available until maybe early part of the season, middle part of the season. But the offensive line was one of the bright spots from the OTAs. They all have their mandatory mini camp. Beginning Tuesday, they'll go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for their mandatory mini camp. And the Chiefs are probably one of the few organizations where they have the majority of their players that participated in the OTAs, because there are numbers franchises that said, no, we're not going to do the OTAs. We'll just do the virtual stuff.
That was what Tom Brady was leading the charge, trying to get all the players to, you know, and I don't understand that. The politics of pro sports is beyond me, but
And Tom maybe feels like he can still accomplish what he needs to from a virtual standpoint of, you know, just going over X and O. But I know the Chiefs coaches really liked having the players there, because you can have them in the classroom, go over what you want to try to do, and then you can take them out onto the field and you can walk them through it. You can do that a little bit in the mini camps and when you get to training camp. But once you get to training camp, you really want to start nailing stuff down and make sure that everybody knows what they're doing.
Well, I guess 7 Super Bowls later, I guess we can't question the methods of Tom Brady.
That is for sure. As, of course, the NBA playoffs, as I said on Monday morning, they're getting down to a manageable number.
Into the semis. Yeah.
So it looks like the Suns will be in the championship.
Sounds that way.
Of the West. They're 3-0.
There'll be potentially some new blood that may win this thing.
Yeah. So. And on the semifinals, it looks like it'll be the Brooklyn Nets.
Be Brooklyn, Philly.
And Philly. And that might be the. Although, I guess the Jazz, you can't rule them out. Yeah. I mean, they got the best record in basketball. So it's
Suns are playing really well from the time I've actually watched.
And they're going to be taking on the Jazz most likely.
Yeah.
They asked one of the gals on ESPN this morning, so how do you stop Donovan Mitchell? And she said early.
I don't know
what the hell that means.
No. Well, of course, I mean, I'm certainly, if I had to pick a team, I'm pulling for Philly just because of the Joel Embiid connection, so hopefully they can get it done.
How many games did he actually play for KU?
Oh my gosh, it was barely double figures. I mean, he didn't get in a lot just because of obviously the injuries. But I think he may have played 15, 16 games, maybe somewhere in there.
Oh, he is a beast.
He is,
and he's talented. I mean,
extremely,
he's
very skilled.
One of the plays last night I saw on the highlights this morning, and he was going down the baseline from the left side, and he got double-teamed, and he goes up. And instead of taking a shot from behind the backboard, he just floats the ball right over the front of the rim.
Yeah,
Simmons goes up and slams it home. And, you know, big guys. Of course, big guys usually do have quite a few assists, I guess. But
he certainly doesn't play like a 7-footer. I mean, he's very good.
When he supposedly has a knee injury.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he can play through it. I mean, that's one. If you're going to knock him, the fact is that he's been injury prone throughout his career.
You watch much of it, Greg?
No. No. I'll flip it over every once in a while just to see how things are going. And early on, you see a lot of ISO plays and guys setting themselves up and But then now you're starting to see a lot more
the
team play.
You know, the NBA is interesting, and from the standpoint is there's no greater. I mean, people who they either really like it, or there's people people just don't watch it at all. Right. It's just kind of an interesting type.
It's good for me in small doses.
Yeah.
I don't think I could ever just sit unless I'd paid $350 for the ticket and just watch a whole game.
Right.
And maybe, you know, if we had a local team, it would be different.
Yeah. I kind of wonder if that doesn't impede our interest here, you know, in, at least around Kansas and Missouri, is the fact that I just don't have a team.
When the Kings were in Kansas City, at least.
I mean, Oklahoma City, I guess, but that's as close as we get.
Yeah. So. And there's people from here go to Oklahoma City.
Oh, yeah. I know several people go to Oklahoma City and catch basketball.
On a regular basis. I want to mention, before we get out of here, a couple of opportunities at Emporia High. Number one, the swimming thing. They're starting Spartan Swim on Monday, I understand.
And that'll be at Emporia State because they are redoing the pool at Emporia High School.
Okay, now, when Scott was doing it this morning, I didn't understand that. I thought he said the Emporia High pool, but it's at the Emporia State pool, huh?
Yes.
8:30 to 10 o'clock Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays or something like that?
I believe so.
And that is open to any high school student at Emporia High. If you're interested in swimming, if you got a youngster that thinks they might be, this would be a good place to put your toe in the water.
There you go.
So, and then wrestling. Of course, the girls are at Parsons for a camp right now, and there's opportunities there. But the guys, I don't know, it might be co-ed for the return. What is it? Local Legends Giving Back is the name of the camp that's a week long. Starting next Monday, or starting the 21st, which would be a week from Monday, at Emporia High, and Noel Torres will be back and be the clinician for that. And, of course, he's a young man, Emporia High wrestler, who went to Friends
Newman
in Wichita, won a national championship, and has tried out. I don't believe he made the Mexican team, but I think he's tried twice to make the Olympic team for the Mexicans, but he continues to wrestle, and obviously it would be a great clinician. So anybody high school, I don't know if you even have to be high school age. I'll bet that's middle school kids as well, but you get a hold of Brooke Madrano and find out. That sounds like an outstanding camp at Emporia High. So, and I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Aaron Rodgers. We've had it on the list over and over. That is a untenable situation. All the players and everything support Aaron Rodgers. He was treated really badly because they drafted somebody, didn't tell him they were going to draft him. As I was telling you off air, Tim, I didn't realize that there was a parallel in this story with Barry Sanders, because Barry Sanders told Detroit he wanted to be traded. They didn't trade him, and so he was forced into retirement, and he retired.
Yeah.
I always thought that was just his decision, that he was a running back. He'd been beat up enough. He had enough money. Didn't want to do it anymore, but there was controversy there.
And then you wonder, okay, after he retired then, why? I mean, I don't know how long that you're under rights to these teams, but you wonder then why he didn't at some point make a comeback, unless you got into retirement and said, hey, you know what, I kind of like this. I mean, you know, I had 9 seasons of getting my brains beat
well,
in.
You know, maybe getting up on Monday morning feeling like crap, he had enough of
it. Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting story to follow there, to see what actually happened with Rodgers and the Packers.
Well, as one of the commentators was saying the other day, they've said to Rodgers, I mean, it would be easy if it was money, but it doesn't seem to be money, because I think they'll pay him whatever he wants to be paid. Anything short of the president or the general manager quitting, and it's interesting because the Packers don't really have an owner.
Right.
They're owned
Republic.
By the community, and so they can't take it out on George Steinbrenner or like that.
Well, you just hate to see – you just hate to see it potentially end badly, particularly what he's meant to the organization and the career he has had.
Well, and if they trade him, they take a $23 million. I don't understand cap and all that, but they take a $23 million cap hit, which they can't get enough and trade back for him to make up for it. So they're probably not going to trade him.
No.
So he's either going to play or sit out. That looks to me like the ball's in in the Packers' court. So, and you know, and the disappointing part about this to me is Aaron Rodgers seems like such a good guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, you form that opinion of him over the years, but I don't know. I mean, it was kind of interesting when this all came out that all of a sudden he didn't want to be in Green Bay anymore.
Well, from what I've heard, when they hired the GM, the guy they hired was not the guy that Aaron Rodgers wanted, and you know, he maybe still would have been okay with that, but this guy may have gone in with the attitude of, "Hey, I'm the boss, and I'm going to prove who I am." But the other part of it is, it seems like the sticking point is Tom Brady isn't against the fact that they went out and drafted another quarterback. It's that they did it and they didn't say, "Hey, this is what our thought process is." And just check with him, and he probably would have said, "Yeah, hey, that's okay."
Yeah, but getting your feelings hurt is not a good reason to end your career.
But we're also in an era where athletes are more involved on the business side of what happens with the teams they play. That's just reality.
And somebody was talking to Alex Smith about this whole situation, and they asked Alex Smith, "Well, when the Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes, did you know about it?" He goes, "Oh yeah, they came to me and they told me what they were going to do, and then they gave me their plan was, and he said, I appreciated the fact that they came to me and said, you know, this is what our plans are. This is the way we feel like we're going to be going. If it doesn't work out, you'll still be our starting quarterback."
But how do you get through that? Because what part of "I'm sorry" or "we're sorry," you know, doesn't add up? And what more can they do to make it right for him? Pay him a lot of money, blah, 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 cut off a finger?
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, the guy owns Green Bay. I mean, yeah, you would think they'd be able to come to some type of reconciliation.
But their fan base is split.
Yeah.
And that kind of works in the team's favor, because
sure does.
Their fan base is pretty much split right down the middle of who they support, it appears.
Right.
So.
Question did come up. Price of Royals tickets. Anybody know what the price of Royals tickets?
Well, on their site, they start at $12.
$12 and work your way up from there.
And you have to buy parking. You have to buy a parking permit because they don't sell them. There is somebody at the gate, but they won't take your money.
And that's the one thing that for people who have gone or are thinking of going, it's not like the good old days where you have a ticket and you hand it to them. It's all on MLB at bat, I think, is what it is.
Yeah.
And
it's all electronic.
It's all electronic. And
if you want a beer, you better have a phone, or you better have a credit card.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I just haven't priced a Royals ticket in forever.
Well, I can tell you this: parking's $30.
$30 to park?
Yeah.
Wow.
I saw a post on.
It seemed like
we bought our permit for $20. We've been one time, and it was no hassle. Worked out, you know, pretty well. But it seemed like it was $20. But I saw a post on Facebook and somebody, David Boyce.
Okay.
Of course, he's going to complain about anything and everything. Doesn't suit him, and he was complaining about $30 Royals tickets or parking. So. Whatever. I mean, if you're going to go, it's going to cost you some money.
Right.
So, anyway.
Wow.
Royals are in California, but they play this afternoon, 2:30?
First pitch, 3:07.
3:07. Yeah. So, on the air at 2:30. That's what I
heard. Yeah, A's today and tomorrow, and as Greg said, they come back home to play Detroit and Boston.
They're back. So. Well, Detroit will be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, Boston maybe not so much.
You know, I wonder about Andrew Benintendi. I wonder how he feels about the fact that now Boston's having a great year and he's not there. I mean, he's having a great year.
Yeah.
He's been a great addition to the Royals.
Yep. It was a good trade for them. Yeah. Good acquisition. Of course, you know, you kind of wanted early the way he started, but, boy, he's been playing really well here lately.
Well, and he says he likes it because he's a Midwest guy to start with and being here. And it's got to be fun to be kind of the – one of the main attractions.
Well, sure, at least, you know, I mean, the organization's certainly moving in the right direction. So, you know, with the young influx of talent and draft picks hopefully panning out and more talent coming,
Don Weiss says, don't trust David Boyce on everything. And he said it was $20 for parking when he went.
$20? That's a reasonable.
It's been $15, $20 for a long time. But somebody, and it was Boyce, he said they raised it to $30, but evidently that's not true. So that's good news.
Depends on where you want to park, I guess.
That's good news. And yeah, I will tell you, if you want Royals tickets, for me, I ask Aaron to help me. It's not. I mean, it does take a little
time and
a little savvy,
to maneuver through all the process.
Right. And you can't just walk up and buy a ticket. I mean, maybe you can walk up and buy one electronically. I don't know. I don't know if you can even walk up and buy a ticket.
Like I said, I just haven't done anything like that for so long. I'm out of the loop.
Even when they opened it up, their crowds weren't very good. They were 15,000-18,000 is all they've had, but that may change this time.
Right.
So they've got Jackson Kowar on the mound this afternoon. So, and boy, he got, you know, as bad as he was, the three wild pitches were probably the worst part of his performance.
Yeah.
And
you just wonder, I mean, was he just too amped up for the moment? I mean, you know, you just don't know. But, boy, he was not good.
Yep. So Royals baseball, 3:07 first pitch, and I don't know what else is going on. Baseball at Soden's Grove, and Emporia Legion team, 7 o'clock tonight. And City Golf going on. So it's going to be a great day. So go out and have fun.
Yep.
All right. It's going to wrap it up here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. By the way, congratulations to Jordan Barnard, who joined us, our Area Athlete of the Year. Couldn't be with us last week. Sean Russell, we hope, who was Coach of the Year for Emporia High. We hope to have him with us next week here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. That's going to do it. Scott, thank you. You're listening to KVOE. We're live and local, and we're driven by LongVineAuto.com.